This is a throwback for me. Maybe not for you. This is a song we used to always intro Mike Wellner when he joined a program years ago. It's been years since we've used this song, but Mike's going to join us in just a second. I'm Ben Ennis. This is Sportsnet Today on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And, of course, the song, the theme to The Greatest American Hero, but also the theme to George Costanza's Answering Machine. Of course, with different lyrics. Some would say superior lyrics. And one of the all-time best moments in that show's history. And there's many great moments. Mike Wellner joining us, we hope, on the line right now, host of Blue Jays Baseball. Are you there, Mike?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I wanted you to give me a couple of seconds to get into the house so I don't have to sit in a freezing cold car and do this thing. But I can walk in as we talk.
Okay. That's do you want me to vamp for a couple of minutes here?
To what?
To vamp. To just talk, to just blabber on about, you know what, actually, I'll set you up with something. Go ahead. Why, do you have something to say?
I was going to say, it doesn't even have to be a couple of minutes. If you vamp, as you put it, which I've never heard before, for 40 seconds, we'll be fine.
Okay, here's what I'm reading right now, and it's something you may want to weigh in on as well. Babe Ruth's 1923 World Series Championship pocket watch, for decades, people thought this thing was lost. It is. It has been found. Ruth gave this to a friend. It was a guy who hooked him up with hotel rooms or whatever. Anyways, he gave this pocket watch to his friend years ago before he died, of course, of throat and mouth cancer. That guy gave it to his wife. His wife ended up with it. She eventually sold it. Anyways, it's going up for auction. It's expected to fetch around $750,000. But, I mean, that kind of is besides the point to me, because they've got a picture of it on ESPN, and I'll tweet it out in a second. To me, this is one of the coolest things ever, that they used to give out pocket watches for winning the World Series. Screw those rings, those gaudy, awful-looking championship rings. I want me a pocket watch. I put it on a chain. Maybe sport a monocle in the top hat. I want this thing. You got $750,000 just hanging around, Mike?
You know, if I did, I'm not sure that would be what I would choose to spend it on, but it is a very, very cool artifact, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I would enjoy having a pocket watch and a monocle as well.
Babe Ruth hit 368 and three homers in the 23 World Series. It was kind of a good team, that Yankees team. Maybe like the best of all time and stuff. Mike, there's, I guess, not a ton to talk about Blue Jays-wise, although they have kind of been in the news just in how much they've missed out on Masahiro Tanaka. They were nominally in the bidding for him, but wouldn't go longer than 5 years, which means that you're not really in the bidding for Masahiro Tanaka, as he gets 7 years and $10 trillion from the New York Yankees. And if you really want to get into the New York Yankees in a bidding war, I don't know how often you're going to come out on top. So I don't fault the Blue Jays really at all in not landing Masahiro Tanaka or really coming all that close to what the Yankees were going to give him. But you look at the second tier free agents out there pitching wise. The one area the Blue Jays need to improve their team is in starting pitching. I think they should be in to a much more serious degree to Ubaldo Jimenez and Irvin Santana. Now, neither of those guys are great shakes, but, man, it would be nice to have a little more starting pitching depth on this team.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, right? Neither of them are world beaters. Neither of them are great shakes. They're both fine. But it would be nice to have a little bit more starting depth. But you have to weigh that with, you know, being tied to one of these guys for 4 years for $15 million a year or thereabouts. And Matt Garza's contract that apparently was agreed to but really wasn't agreed to and still hasn't been was for $4 and $52 million. So yeah, that's $13 million a year. And I would assume, you know, a lot of people assume he would be the most expensive of the three. I'm not one of those people because he's got the shaky injury history and questionable medicals. And Jimenez and Santana are two guys who've thrown 180 to 200 innings pretty much each of the last 5 years. So you're tying yourself to a guy for 4 years, maybe five, for between $12 and $18 million a year, who might not be that much better than what you have. And that's, you know, I kind of question that. I'll be happy if they bring one of them in, but is it an absolute necessity? I really don't think so, especially at those prices. And I know it's not my money and whatever, but there is, you know, you don't have to be a crazy value whore to recognize the fact that that you might be seriously, seriously overpaying for what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go 5 minutes without people calling me a crazy value whore, Mike. It's kind of
I know that. I wasn't going to bring that up.
But honestly, isn't that just the cost of doing business? Is spending whatever? If it's 13, if it's a similar deal to what Matt Garza is getting from the Brewers, do you think the Blue Jays should land Baldy at that? Should they sign themselves up for $13 million per over four?
But it's a gamble. I mean, this is a guy.
Oh, you know what? Sports is a gamble. Of course, it's a gamble.
Well, yeah, I understand. Sports is a gamble, and everything is always a gamble. But it's a bigger gamble than a lot of people seem to think. You know, I'm concerned by Jimenez's walk rate. I understand the changes in the second half of last season and all of that stuff. I'm concerned by the number of home runs that Irvin Santana gives up. I'm concerned by the number of people that Kyle Drabek walked, and I'm concerned by the fact that Drew Hutchison is only 23 years old.
I'm also concerned that the Blue Jays had one of the worst starting staffs in all of baseball last year.
Yeah, and you should be concerned about that. But Josh Johnson is gone, and he was a major, major contributor to how bad that starting staff was.
Until he disappeared for the rest of the season.
He still made, 17 starts, didn't he? And they were awful. So that's one half of one full season of just, you know, a guy who made literally two good starts all season long. And that's gone now. So it's unfortunate. He was expected to be a heck of a lot better. You expect that Brandon Morrow is healthy, and it's a lot to expect. I understand. I talked to him, last week or the week before, and he's got a clean bill of health, and he seems to be over this radial nerve impingement thing. But obviously, you never know if anyone's going to get hurt, and everyone is a risk, and some guys are riskier than others, and guys like Mark Burley and Irvin Santana are less riskier than others. But the pitching staff will be improved simply by the fact that Josh Johnson isn't in it.
Yep.
And Enes Milrodgers and Todd Redmond aren't going to be leaned on to provide, you know, another full year starter's worth of starting for the Blue Jays this year. If they get an Ubaldo Jimenez or an Irvin Santana, you feel better than if they were to go with Hutchison and Jay Happ.
Yeah.
But I'm a little worried that they keep Happ over Hutchison Drabek, because that's what Alex indicated. And I don't see any reason why you should do that. But I really do think that they've got that bringing in a guy Tanaka's one thing, and you know, more power to him. I hope he's as successful in North America as he was in Japan. Because it would be nice to see that, you know, a guy who pitches great there can pitch great here. It doesn't happen very often when you look at all the guys who've come over as superstars in Japan who've been superstars here. Yu Darvish, Hideo Nomo, that's it. But, yeah, if he's as advertised, he's a major improvement to the Blue Jays starting rotation. Are Ubaldo Jimenez and Irvin Santana major improvements to the Blue Jays starting rotation? Honestly, I'm really not sure.
Yeah, I'm with you, but Mike, does it allows you a little more wiggle room? It allows you another injury, because nobody goes through a season using only five or even six starters.
Right.
I mean, the Tigers managed to do it last year. I think they only had six guys start games for them last year, which is I mean, just unheard of. It never happens. And especially the recent history for this Blue Jays team with the number of starting pitching injuries that they've had, it would just be nice to have that fallback, that cushion, if somebody goes down or if somebody doesn't pan out, to have another, you know, another card to play out there. And it would be tough. I'm with you. They can probably get as good, maybe better production out of Marcus Stroman or Kyle Drabek or Drew Hutchison or even Sean Nolan in the starting rotation as you would with Ubaldo Jimenez or Irvin Santana, but you don't know, and at least you're not relying on those guys, because as much as Tanaka is a big question mark, those guys are question marks too for the Blue Jays. They could be great or they could not.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, they're bigger question marks because they're young. And they're still kind of working their way up, and we've seen Drabek be just miserable. But I do think a lot of his control issues had to do with the elbow, and we've seen that in the past with guys like Mark Wohlers and Rick Ankiel and others who've had control problems right before they've needed Tommy John surgery. But everything you say is true, and that's why it's going to cost them $60 million or so to have that fallback that's a little less of a risk.
Can't you afford it?
Of course you can afford it.
So what's the problem? You give up a draft pick, but it's only a second-round pick. It's not a big deal. You're in for Pence in for a pound here with the Blue Jays. The window
is being British.
Yeah.
In for a dime, in for a dollar on this side of the pond.
No. It's not like it's a one-year window, but, Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Bautista, those guys aren't getting any younger.
No, of course not. But you know what? That goes to the question of then why not just sign, multiple people to way more money than they're worth, and then try to guarantee yourself a championship.
Yeah, no, but you're not spending $20 million over 7 years. You're looking at 4 years. 4 years is not seven, and 13 or 15 is not 20. Which you would have had to pay for Tanaka.
Right, 22, 23 for Tanaka plus all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Right, and I understand that, but when pick free agent X, who would help this team, and Jacoby Ellsbury for whatever, if Jacoby Ellsbury's healthy, does he provide the Blue Jays with a better outfield alternative than what they have now in Melky Cabrera or in Colby Rasmus? Absolutely. Can they afford to give him 4 years and $100 million? Sure they can. So why not do it? Well, because he's not worth that, and he's not the one guy who puts you over the top. And I really honestly believe that you have to spend a little bit responsibly, especially when you're coming off a last place finish. And they said this a couple of years ago. Paul Beeston said, if this guy could guarantee that we're going to get over the top with him and this is the final piece of the puzzle, then we'll overspend, sure. But otherwise, we got to, do stuff reasonably. And I think that there's a responsibility to do stuff reasonably. And I wonder, I know that there are a lot of Blue Jays fans who will say, if you ask them, if you get the World Series this year, and no one can guarantee the World Series, you can't obviously even guarantee the playoffs as we look at what happened to the last 3 years of teams that won the winter. But if you could get a World Series and then you would just suck for the next 5 years because you have all these bloated contracts, you owe these people money, let's say for the next 3 years, because you're talking about a four-year deal here, if you would just be awful, a lot of people right now would say, yes, absolutely, I would take that. In a year and a half, they would be just as miserable as they are now.
No, but you would take it, and you'd be stupid not to. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You talk about guarantees and putting yourselves over the top. Mike, if you look at this offense, I think it's comparable to anybody in baseball. It's certainly better than the Yankees, probably up there with the Red Sox, who I think were playing a little bit over their heads offensively last year. You've got two of the best right-handed sluggers in all of baseball, and Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion batting back-to-back, maybe the best leadoff hitter in baseball, and Jose Reyes. I think they're more than capable enough offensively. So I do think if you just even last year have a respectable starting staff, you're, if not in the playoffs, very, very close. I think that is like the last step. They're that close to being over the top and in the playoff. And if you're in the playoff conversation, you're in the World Series conversation. I think they are one or two starters and being a good staff away from being that team.
Yeah, I think they are too.
So why not spend the $13 million bucks?
Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't spend the $13 million bucks, but also to your point, you have to make sure you don't miss half a season of, half of your offense, right?
Yeah.
With Reyes, Lurie, Bautista, Cabrera all missed half the season. So that kind of took a big bite out of, which is why the Blue Jays, in combination with the awful starting pitching, finished dead last. I'm not opposed to spending the $13 million. I don't think that's outrageous. I think that's what the market will bear for Ubaldo Jimenez or Irvin Santana. What I'm saying is they may not need to. So I'm certainly not saying don't do it. But what I'm saying is don't, rend your garments and wear sackcloth if they wind up not doing it. And somebody else, if the Dodgers come in and sign one of them,
yeah,
or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Jeff Samardzija is still going to be available midway through the season, and if the Blue Jays need that starting pitching boost, he'll be available for them to go get. There are other guys. I would love to see them sign Scott Baker as starting pitching depth, because he was going to be really, really – he was on his way to being really good when his elbow exploded 3 years ago. I'm not saying don't sign these guys. What I'm saying is you may already be as good or better than you are without signing them.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it would be fine. But if that's the price, and if the Blue Jays lose out and those guys go for Garza-type contracts, both of them, and the Blue Jays – don't land him, I will be not all that impressed. And
well, but remember too, it's up to them. If you're Irvin Santana or Ubaldo Jimenez,
yeah,
and the team that finished in last place this year and in fourth place the year before and has never been a factor in a playoff conversation for 20 years,
it's all about dollars
coming at you. Well, yeah, it is and it isn't. If you're getting comparable money from a playoff team, you're probably going to go to the playoff team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But I would hope the Blue Jays would be in on them. And from everything we hear, they are going to be in on them. I want to move away from that because there's only so much we can say about those two guys and the possibilities of them landing in Toronto. But an interesting guy for me, and maybe, talking about the offense, I said that it's pretty much set and maybe one of the best in baseball. I truly do believe that. And that's with a black hole offensively at second base. And a big question mark behind the plate as well, although maybe you think Navarro's figured things out. DH is a right-handed platoon DH partner for Adam Lind is maybe the one thing that you look to change if you're the Blue Jays, although I think Moises Sierra might do a good job. And you keep him out of the field defensively.
I don't mind him in the field defensively. Outside
really?
The brain locks, he's got an unbelievable throwing arm.
Yes, I understand that. But the brain lock is a serious condition, Mike.
Yes. We lived with it from Alex Rios. I think he can live with it a little bit from Sierra. But with the three guys they have out there plus Anthony Ghost, there's no reason for Moises Sierra to ever be in the outfield unless somebody gets hurt, which is one of the reasons I really thought he was going to be traded in the offseason, and he still might. He's out of options, and he's tough to keep. But he's not a guy who's had serious splits with hitting lefties particularly well. He doesn't walk, although he did last September for the first time in his career. I don't see him as your big bat against lefties to platoon with Adam Lind. There's not a lot out there, which is really funny. I mean, guys like that are usually quite abundant in the wild.
I would have liked Kevin Youkilis.
Yeah, Kevin Youkilis would have been good. Shelly Duncan, who just signed a minor league deal, would have been good. But I think they want someone who's a little bit more versatile than that. Jeff Baker would be perfect. He's a free agent out there and late of the Texas Rangers and the Chicago Cubs, and he can play six positions poorly, and he wails on lefties. But I've talked to a number of people out in the baseball world about him, and the consensus is that this is a really, really bad dude who you don't want anywhere near your clubhouse, which is why the Blue Jays haven't moved on him. But it's too bad because everything about him on the field appears to be a perfect fit.
I know at least how you feel about guys who are bad clubhouse guys, and that it's a little bit overdone, overplayed in that I don't know how much of an impact it has.
I agree with you, but I've heard from enough people about this guy that I'm convinced that fine with me not to sign him.
Okay, so what do you expect? Are the Blue Jays looking for that guy? Are they looking for that that guy that really doesn't have it? He doesn't have to have a position. He just needs to hit lefties and DH. I mean, how hard can he be to find? Are the Blue Jays actively searching for that guy? They're not going to go in. I think we've all learned that Adam Lind can't hit lefties, even though he had a nice stretch of games there last year where he did. It all came apart against lefties.
Makes it worse.
Yeah.
If you look at his numbers against lefties for the season, they weren't good. If you take out the fact that I think he started 12 for 24 against lefties, he hit like 80 against them the rest of the year.
It's not good.
So, yeah, it was awful. They are looking, and they came very close to signing someone a couple of weeks ago, and he wound up signing somewhere else just because he could get better playing time. Alex Anthopoulos talked about that on primetime. So that's what they're up against. You know, they're trying to get people for minor league deals, and they're not offering a ton of playing time. They'll say, come here, and you can be our DH against lefties and help us out that way. What do you think? And if they can play more somewhere else, then a lot of guys will do that because it's an opportunity to make more money.
Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Mike, what about the trade market? David Price is going to be out there, but if you trade for him, you better be willing to pony up a couple $100 million because that's what he's going to get on the open market. He's going to get a Clayton Kershaw-type deal, which is, I mean, well, nobody's going to get Clayton Kershaw. That's crazy, paying a starting pitcher over $30 million a year. But
well, he's only 12 years old, so that helps.
Yeah, I guess.
But I'm not sure Price is out there on the trade market anymore.
Really?
They signed Grant Balfour, and what are you going to give $4 million or $5 million a year to a closer for, or whatever he got, if you're going to trade your ace?
Well, but they have such crazy starting pitching depth that they could probably trade him away.
I think they're going to wait till the middle of the season. I wouldn't be surprised to see if they're not, you know, if they're not there playoffically, then he's the guy that they get everybody's bets, meats and cheeses for it on July 31st.
How about the Chicago Cubs and their audacity in asking for Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman for Shark? Jeff Samardzija. I mean, that seems crazy to me. I know neither guy's pitched at all in the major leagues, but those are maybe the Blue Jays' two best pitching prospects. And Shark is not a top one or two, even three guy really in the major leagues.
Jeff Samardzija would be the Blue Jays' fourth starter right now. Maybe, well, ahead of Mark Burley just on stuff, but Burley's it's just so bloody consistent. And yeah, you're not going to give up your two best prospects for that. And the audacity is because they're in the position of complete and total power, the Chicago Cubs. They don't have to trade this guy.
Man, what
so
power? You haven't won a World Series since 1908. The power. I'd love to have that kind of power.
I would love to be sitting with a starting pitcher that everyone in Major League Baseball wanted that I didn't have to trade. But I could if I wanted to. And that means you can ask for whatever the hell you want, and maybe someone's desperate enough to give it to you. And if not, you sit, you wait, and you do it again. And you trade him to the team that doesn't get David Price on July 31st.
Yeah, I don't know what the Cubs are doing. I know they're not quite there yet. I'm having a tough time seeing when they're going to be good because it's supposed to be, you know, not 10 years down the road, but maybe two or three. And I'm having
it's tough to see for sure, but you trust in Theo and good things will happen.
I guess so. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Marcus Stroman, I think we're on the same page when it comes to him. I love him. Well, personally, he seems like a really good guy. We've had him on the podcast and on the radio. We've been on a couple of times. The one time he actually just called in, because we were talking about him on Twitter. I've loved everything I've seen from him numbers-wise. I haven't fully seen him actually pitch in the flesh, You've seen him at spring training, I guess. Great,
yeah, like three innings, I think.
Yeah, great AFL numbers, Arizona Fall League. Minor league numbers. Where do you put a percentage on him and his ability to crack the starting staff to start the year? And of course, it all depends on whether they do land one of Ubaldo, Jimenez, or Irvin Santana. But is it a choice for the Blue Jays? Are they only open to the possibility of one of those four young arms being in the rotation? Is there no chance in the world that two of Drabek, Hutchison, Stroman, or Nolan are in the rotation?
I wouldn't say no chance in the world. I think, but I'll say this. If everyone comes through spring training healthy, then I and the Blue Jays don't add somebody in the next month and a half, I expect the starting rotation out of spring to be Dickey, Morrow, Burley, Happ, and Hutchison. I think those are the five guys that the Blue Jays are thinking of taking. I would much rather have Stroman in there than Happ.
Yeah.
And I would love Drabek to make a big impression and make them think really, really hard about sending him down, because I see huge things for Kyle Drabek in the future, and I think he's going to be a significant contributor to this team this year. Ideally, for me, the rotation is probably Dickey, Burley, Morrow, Drabek, Hutchison, and that's giving short shrift to Stroman, but he's never pitched in AAA.
Yep.
So, you know, I really think, like you said, you need a ton of starting pitching. And five's not going to do it. Six isn't going to do it. A lot of years, especially for this team, eight's not going to do it. So I think we're going to see Stroman in the big leagues at some point this year. I think the chances are minute that he breaks camp with the team, even if he does blow everybody away. But again, I'd much rather see him on this team than J-Hap.
Yeah, spring training numbers can be fool's gold at times as well. I'm with you with J-Hap, but I wonder if the part of the decision-making that goes into including Hap in the rotation no matter what, and he is something would have to happen dramatically for him not to be there. I wonder if part of the decision-making there is because Hap isn't really a happy camper when things aren't going his way, when he's not being given the opportunities, when, you know, Ricky Romero, it looked like he was going to be that fifth starter and not J-Hap. I mean, he's pretty vocal about thinking he deserves to be a starter on this staff, even though, I mean, career numbers is not... I mean, he's not a guy that's going to give you much more than replacement-level starting pitching.
Well, I think that was a bit overblown in the spring. And, you know, I was in on every one of those scrums. I talked to J-Hap every single time that any other reporter talked to him. And he wasn't angry. He wasn't upset. He was very matter-of-fact. Look, he's been a starting pitcher in the major leagues the last 5 years. Why would he not be a starting pitcher in the major leagues again this year? And that's the way, you know, that's what you want to hear from a guy. You don't want to hear from someone, yeah, you know what, I'll be thrilled to be the number one starter in Buffalo. He felt as though he had earned the right to be in a major league rotation ahead of a guy like Ricky Romero, with what Romero had done that the year before and what Romero was doing all spring. And I think he was pretty justified in thinking that. And for me, there's nothing wrong with him saying that. And I don't think he was ever, you know, pouting or woe is me or anything like that. I thought his attitude was totally fine. And for me, the greater concern is the stuff you just said, that he's not that good.
Yeah.
And, you know, that you could do better.
You know, I was just thinking about lefty mashers.
And if you're talking, by the way,
yeah,
about bringing in a Jimenez or a Santana to replace J-Hap,
yeah,
then I think you are making rather grand strides there.
Yeah. You know, sorry, to go back to something we were talking about earlier, lefty mashers. I was trying to think of the guy that I associate most with mashing lefties. Might be a guy like Matt Diaz.
Diaz was a huge lefty smasher.
Right.
He had a couple of years he hit over 400 against lefties.
Now, is he available? He was with the Marlins last year, which I did not even know. But, yeah, career OPS of 858 against lefties. I wonder if he's out there. He'd be an
interesting
guy.
Certainly not that great. I mean, he didn't walk much, and he didn't hit for power, but he always hit for a very high average.
Career 322 hitter against lefties.
I think that he signed a minor league deal with somebody.
Mm.
I looked that up. You can look it up just as easily. But I'm pretty sure that he signed a minor league deal with somebody. But he's always a guy that I've thought of as a great lefty crusher.
Second base, Blue Jays make a minor league signing in Chris Getz. He doesn't do anything really except for, you know, give a little speed on the bases. He stole 20 bases twice before in his major league career. He doesn't get on base, doesn't hit for powers. Career slugging is 309, Mike, and a career on base of 310 is on base is 1 point higher than slugging. That's fun. But he is. I mean, where do you rank his chances of cracking this club as well? I mean, if you're going to have a guy that can't hit, at least you have a guy that can do something. He's got some speed. That's nice. Meh.
Yeah.
What was the point of signing him to a minor league deal then? I guess there's no bad minor league deals.
Right. There are no bad minor league deals. And two, he's not that much different from Ryan Gomes. And, you know, the speed is nice. The versatility is nice. He can play shortstop in a pinch. He can play third base. He did hit 290, I think, his rookie season. And Kevin Seitzer is familiar with him from Kansas City. So that's why you sign him. You hope he can maybe be a little bit better than Goins and be a little bit better than Asturias. And there you go. But I think a lot of Blue Jays fans are still holding out hope that they go out and sign Stephen Drew to play second base, and I would be all for that too. I mean, he doesn't have the glove of a Goins,
yeah.
But the bat is, I mean, he has, what, like a 380 on base against righties last year.
Yeah.
So I'd be in favor of a move like that. Getz is there for depth, and Getz is there to push, and I'm sure he'll get significant playing time in the spring.
Okay. So on that note, before we let you go, Mike, if you had a choice of signing Stephen Drew, and then you really make that a formidable offensive team if you're able to throw him into the mix and batting at the bottom
eighth
half.
Or ninth,
yeah,
sure.
Bottom half of the lineup would be spectacular. If you had a choice of either a Stephen Drew and taking money out of the equation, either a Stephen Drew or one of those two starting pitchers out there in Baldy or Irvin, who would you rather the Blue Jays go out and sign?
No, I want both. I want Drew and a starter.
No, I said you okay. If you had to make a decision, would you rather?
I don't think they have to. I think they have enough money that they can get both.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Well,
I don't think Stephen Drew is going to command huge money. I'm not sure what he's asking for, but obviously the market's been pretty thin for him. It's almost the end of January. He hasn't signed yet, and there's no draft pick compensation attached to him, which is kind of why you understand why those other guys haven't signed. I do think that they can do both, but I'm not sold on DeAndre Navarro. So I don't know that I want two black holes in the lineup. I think Stephen Drew can handle second base. So I think he's probably a nicer get than Baldy or Santana, given the fact that the Jays have Drabek, Hutchison, Nolan, Stroman, and like that.
Oh, curious. That would be, I would be very impressed if the Blue Jays were able to pull off both of those moves. But I guess there's still plenty of time here before things wrap up and we head down to Dunedin. Well, not me personally. I would like to, but it'd be nice to actually see some baseball as well. Hey, Mike, thanks for this.
All right. I got a sofa bed if you can make it down.
All right. Maybe I'll try.
All right.
There's Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays baseball here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.